If you grabbed an outline, you'll know that this is the same outline I used last week. I did that on purpose because I knew it was enough for 2 weeks, but I didn't know where I was going to quit. So now I know where I was going to quit. I can start up there again. But the idea here is about ideas. We talked last week quite a bit about the ideas that people have and the questions that it percolates up in them and how they respond to those, how they answer those questions determines how they live. I'll just read to you the paragraph that I wrote. As at no time in my existence, I see we're engaged in a battle of ideas. Our ideas are thoughts and suggestions about what we ought to do. But what does that have to do with Christmas? Well, people have lots of crazy ideas about Christmas that have nothing to do with the reality or true meaning of Christmas. And sadly, many people have just as many varied and weird ideas about how they are to do life. I happened to read a little bit of a book by Dr. Jeff Myers, and he says, our ideas largely determine our understanding of life's meaning and guide us in the way we live. Everyone forms ideas about questions like these, and then I listed five. Am I loved? If I were to disappear, would anyone miss me? And we talked about that pretty significantly last week. Why do I hurt? Bad things have happened to me. Can I overcome them and find joy? We looked at that one last week. And then this week we will look at these three. Does my life have any meaning? Is it possible for me to find direction in life? Why can't we just get along? Is there any hope for this world? What will it take for us to stop fighting and find harmony? I like that one. So many things seem to be going wrong. And then lastly, is God even relevant? Does God ever get involved in our life? So does life have any meaning? Well, you may not be asking that question, but there are lots of people that are. In fact, there's more people asking these kinds of questions this year, perhaps, than any time that we can remember or think about. So does life have any meaning? And how do I find direction? And, you know, people do all sorts of things. There are places, you know, do you know how many yoga places there are out there? It used to be yogurt. Now it's yoga. And I could get the yogurt. I never did get the yoga part. But I'm serious. You know, 15 years ago, you didn't go any place to do yoga because there wasn't any place to go. And people have an idea that that's going to be helpful to them. Now, I'm not into that. You know what I'm saying? But this is a direction people's lives have taken that didn't used to take. Yeah. And I could go on and on. I won't. The idea is when somebody comes up with something that might answer one of these questions, people dive into it. So does life have any meaning? Can I find direction? Well, the Bible has a thing or two to say about that. And when it says it with pretty good oomph. Fact is, Gabe alluded to this. I like it when they use what I'm going to use. This is John 1, verse 9. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. And he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world didn't know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Is there any meaning to life? Yes, Jesus came. He came to his own. They said, no thanks, we're looking for a different kind of Messiah than you. But to everybody that received him, he gave them the right, the privilege, the honor of becoming a child of God. Now, if you were to become the child of the president, you might not like that, some of you, but you wait a little while, it'll change. Or you were to become the child of a famous movie star, would that change your life a little bit? Wouldn't you feel differently about yourself? Yes, because I belong too. I'm important too. Listen, we've been given the right to become child of God. You know, belonging to, important to, the one who holds the whole world together by his word of power. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Well, how do you know that's true? Because he says so. And you don't have to just take his word If you cooperate with his word, you'll find out experientially that that's real and true. And he will give direction to your life. How many of you had parents? See, I got you all. Did they give direction to your life? Or did they give direction to your life by failing to give direction to your life and cause you to go one way or the other? You think the Lord isn't a good parent? And that he wouldn't give you direction, wouldn't prompt you, wouldn't connect with you so you'd have an idea of what you might be able to or what you might want to do? Peter says it this way. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. He says, he was writing to those who were scattered across the area. He said, all of you who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled by his blood, may grace and peace be yours to the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused you to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To a living hope. That's like a hope that's alive. Never goes away. To a living hope, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You ever make a reservation in a restaurant and people were standing all around you and you walked up to the counter and said, hi, I have a party of five, and they lead you all through and everybody looks at you like, who are you? Or who aren't you? And the Bible says that there is a reservation in heaven for you. Isn't that cool? Well, I don't know if I'm going to get it in the pearly gates. Dude, you got a table next to the stage. You have a reserved spot, right? It shoots all those pearly gate things pretty bad. But he said it's reserved for you. What does that mean? It means it's held for you. You're held to it, you're held for it, and you're held by it. And it's reserved for you. That gives a little direction to your life. That'll add some meaning to your life. Well, what about life down here? Listen, when you're connected with life up there, life down here changes. So you have a reservation in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. This might be a prophetic definition of 2020. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. That is as prophetic a verse as you're going to read. Anybody been distressed by various trials? I feel Shakespearean, oh, let me count the ways. You know? And yet he says, when you have this reservation, when you've been given the opportunity to become a child of God, and you select it, you choose it, then that changes things. As you're protected by the power of God in the now, that's what it says. And even if you've had to mess with various trials for a little while, this thing doesn't fade and it doesn't go away. And I love it. It says, even if you have been distressed by various trials. See, we don't do what the Bible said. The Bible always talks about distress. And I think we're Americans, we want everything quicker. So we just talk about stress. You can say stress quicker, you can say distress. Are you with me? And so what is distress? It's what stress causes. It wears on you. It wears you out. And he says, you got a little of this maybe here and there. This happens some. But when that thing passes, he says, God himself will set you back up. That's what it says. Peter goes on to say that in 2 Peter. I'm going, okay, now I don't like this distressed stuff, but anybody who hasn't been distressed is in a coma this year, right? Yeah. I mean, if you're aware of at all, I mean, financial things, political things, medical things, oh my gosh. Thank God the Chiefs have only lost one game. I mean, you know, you got to have something, right? I just want you to get this. The Bible talks about distress, and it's not an abnormal thing. Being destroyed by it is what's abnormal. Okay? And so a couple weeks ago, I did a thing about how to encourage yourself in God. I've encouraged you to go back and listen to that. Grab a hold of that. I got that just the day before I found out my wife had leukemia. And He said, you need to look at that. I thought, okay, oh, shoot, I need to look at that. But see, distress comes from the distressor. Peace, joy come from the kingdom of God. And so, is there a chance for us to have meaning in life? Is there a chance for us to have direction in life? Yeah, and you're dealing with people that may not know that. They may not be hooked up like that. They don't have it all connected. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, he says you're chosen in chapter 1. Then he says in chapter 2, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. For God's own possession, belonging to him. If you're a parent, have you always made every right choice for your child? No. And my kids aren't in here, I don't think, are they? Okay. So I can say anything I want. But, I mean, it grieves me that I didn't always make every right choice. He makes every choice right. Now, he doesn't always make me make the right choice, but he affords me the grace to make the right choice. Chosen people, God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once weren't a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And he even says in the New Testament, you're part of God's household. See, God's got a hold of his household. And if you're a part of God's household, his family, then he got a hold of you. And you just need to be awakened freshly, probably, to your hold of him. 1 John 3 says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called the children of God. Have you ever been called something other than the children of God? Have people defined you in a way other than the children of God? Me too. He says, not only are we called the children of God, he says, and such we are. For this reason, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. That's a good one to hold on to. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it does not yet appear what we will be. But we know when he appears, we'll be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself as he is pure. You focus in on him because a day is coming where we're going to be exactly like him. And every encounter with him on the way to that day should cause us to get a little more like him as we go. That's called transformation. That's the purpose of him coming to us. That's what he wants us to have. So, he says, does my life have any meaning? Can I find any direction? Billy Graham says this, Jesus came into the world so that we would know once and for all that God is concerned about the way we live, the way we believe, and the way we die. That's about as simple as it gets, isn't it? And that's exactly why the Holy Spirit comes and quickens us so we can really understand how much he does care about how we live, how we believe, and how we die. Peter Marshall, some of you who are my age or so, yeah, and those of you who aren't, see what you missed. Peter Marshall used to be the chaplain of the United States Senate. He said, Christmas means the beginning of Christianity and a second chance for the whole world. Man, if you've lost direction, if you're not so sure life means anything, if you're looking for a way to find meaning in life, the answer is Jesus. For everybody, and it's for you here, everybody watching online. And Christmas, because it's the incarnation, when Jesus came to live among us, that's what makes the second chance, is knowing him. Bill Hybels says, the same God who empowered Samson, Gideon, and Paul seeks to empower your life because God hasn't changed. When you read what he's done about people in the scriptures, he can do that for you. And Graham Lott says, all the power of God, the same power that hung the stars in place and put the planets in their courses and transformed the earth, now resides in you to energize and strengthen you to become the person God created you to be. That's a boatload of direction and meaning, isn't it? Barbara Johnson says, God will never lead you where his strength cannot keep you. And then Gigi Graham says, Make the least of all that goes, in other words, the past. Make the most of all that comes. Don't regret what is past, just cherish what you have. Look forward to all that is to come, and most important of all, rely moment to moment on Jesus. That's pretty good advice if you need direction. So Jesus came to give us life, real life, eternal life, and he came also to give us his Spirit and his Word to empower us and direct us in that life. So yes, life does have meaning, and yes, you can have direction. The next question that Dr. Myers lists is this one. Why can't we all get along? ... Is there any hope for this world? What will it take for us to quit fighting and find harmony? Well, everybody needs to agree with me, of course. Right? But the trouble is we all think that. No, right? And that means we don't get along and we don't find harmony. So many things seem to be going wrong. So why can't we all get along? Well, I've got a couple suggestions from the scriptures. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, which means it's fraught with wrong ideas and wrong ideals and wrong motives and a wrong message. The world is passing away. Also, it's lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Little children, let us not love with the word or with just the tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know that by this we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him. We've got to be people who, if we say something, it has to be true in what we do, not just in what we say. Now, that's pretty simple, but people who don't know the Lord know that. Do you mean what you say? Do you say what you mean? Do you do it? Now, it would be good. I mean, there are people who say, well, that person always does what he says. Yeah, but it's wrong. But at least he's dependable. I mean, dependability is a virtue, right? And so it's not just, well, if everybody would just get saved, it would all work. Well, that'd be a great start. But how many of you know there are millions upon millions of Christians in the United States, and we don't all get along perfectly? I don't want to shock anybody. I don't want to mess up your holiday. But isn't that the truth? How can we expect, then, if we don't get along in our own family, to be able to give away the family values to other people? Yeah, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. We have to know who we are, and we have to act like we know who we are. There is a confident humility that comes from internal integrity that empowers external integration. That's a mouthful, but it's real. There is a confident humility. Those things don't even make sense together, do they? I didn't say an arrogant humility. I said a confident humility. And that confident humility, based on internal integrity, empowers us to externally integrate that integrity to the environment around us. That's the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. And so why can't we get along? Well, because everybody's got different motives. How many of you know there's a hidden agenda behind the agenda? Right? I have an agenda. I want everybody to love Jesus. That's my agenda. I want every sick person to get healed. So don't say you don't have an agenda. That's a lie. Because we really do. Why? Because we love people. And we want people to have what he wants them to have. So you have to recognize, to be totally honest, we have an agenda. But it's a God-given agenda. It's called the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, right? So don't apologize for it. Just don't lie about it. But you don't have to say, listen, I'm going to be your friend because I want you to get saved. You don't have to tell them that, but you can know that's true, right? Isn't it true? Now, the thing is, we love them whether they get saved or not, right? But our desire would be for that to be fulfilled where they can receive deeply what we're giving. And the problem is, I'm not going to say that. I'll go back up here to my notes because I'll have to explain that. And we only have one day. But we can't take advantage of people. We have to be integrous. To be integrous is to say, you know, why are you doing this for me? The answer is because God loves people. Right? I found out that works the best. Blame it on him. God loves people. And if we're going to be people who say we love God and we don't love the people that he created, what's that? How can you interpret that? Jesus came, the Bible says. Nobody had ever seen God. Jesus came to interpret him, to explain him. And we're the explainers. We are the window that people shop at. You know, we are the walking websites for the kingdom of God. This is how people find out who God is through us. Okay? Now, I was born at night, but not last night. So how are we going to have unity and everybody work together? Well, you know, I think in the body of Christ, in the church, I'm not so sure it doesn't take a move of God for us to have unity. Now, sometimes you can see examples historically where unity came and move of God came. You can also see where visitation of God came and it brought everybody together. So which is it? Well, let's have both, right? Now, and so all I'm saying is, can we find unity and harmony together? That's got to come, I think, in the kingdom first. But it's okay to give away love in your neighborhood and at your job, and you know, so that people at least think, you know, these people are kind. I don't like their kind, but these people are kind. Do I need to go slower? See, if we're kind, kindness is the hidden weapon of the kingdom. You be kind, and it messes with people. Because I've had people tell me, I want to ask you a question. I said, what? When does the other shoe drop? I said, I only got 2 feet. Yeah, but when's the other? What's in it for you? And I thought, oh, Field of Dreams. I'm sorry. This is... Well, what's in it for you? Well, God so loves, he gives. If I'm going to love, I got to give. You know, I mean, I got a shot at being like him. You know, I want to, right? And so you literally can say, well, how can I possibly expect you to think that I really know God if I don't act like I do? And so I got to be so careful. I walked up off of this once. We have to be really careful to be able to be H-O-L-Y and live W-H-O-L-L-Y at the same time. See, integrity is wholeness, soundness, completeness, fullness. And if all we do is broadcast H-O-L-Y and we don't treat people with integrity, am I making sense? So this is how joy comes to the world. We're the only ones that got it. Right? Jesus was anointed with joy, the Bible says, above his fellows. Not that he was taller than everybody. I heard somebody say, no, he had a level of joy that was absolutely beyond what anybody else had. But when he gives himself away, that goes with it. Right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is how the Bible defines the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors of the kingdom. So does that mean I have to be happy all the time? No, because that's insincere. If you're happy all the time, you're on something. Or you need to be on something. Am I right? But see, joy is a different thing. Joy is, I love watching the game, but you know what? I saw the previews. I know who wins. Right? There's a joy that comes from, it's righteousness, peace, and joy. If you're wondering who's going to win, you don't have any peace. When you know who's going to win, there's joy. Right? Now, does that mean every play is something you enjoy? Uh-uh. But it does mean the outcome is what he said it would be. So can we really find a level of joy? Can we actually learn how to get along? Is there hope for the world? Yes. You know what the hope of the world is? The church being the light of the world is hope for the world. Right? Well, that doesn't flood you with excitement, does it? But the fact that he put us here alive with the life of God, and we have the opportunity to give that away, that's the hope of the world. They don't know it's the hope of the world. Don't blame them, they don't know. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned, right? I always like to tell people, when you're born the first time, like from, through your mom and dad, you're born with an AM radio in you, and it's called the spirit of this age, and you're tuned to it. When you become a Christian, you get transferred out of the kingdom, the dominion of darkness, into the kingdom of his dear son, and you get FM then. And now you can hear from the I am on your FM. This is better than it sounds. But you're tuned to another frequency. You now hear things that you didn't hear before that were always there. There's a power now in this room called electricity. You don't believe me? Stick your finger in the socket and talk to me later from the emergency room. But there are radio signals going here now. If I turn on an FM receiver, I would hear it. Well, see, we live in a world where we're receiving AM and FM, and they're only on AM. Right? Am I making sense? So sometimes they don't dig your music. and they don't listen to the talk shows that you listen to. But you know what? We still get the information. And we still have the capacity to communicate what they might understand, which is integrity, honesty, kindness, gentleness, self-control, fruit of the Spirit. Right? So can there be hope for this world? Yes, but we're it. We're it. Well, why can't we bring everybody together? The United Nations has tried that, sort of, and all it's done is cost us a whole lot of money. No. But if that would have fixed it, we'd be fixed, wouldn't we? That's not how it works. That is not how it works. Love not the world. Church has to recognize that we're citizens of both kingdoms, right? It's kingdom God, kingdom of heaven, and here. Most of us are citizens of the United States, and we've got to work it out both. So, but we have to learn how to be, you know, Christian Americans and not American Christians, right? And Canadians need to learn how to be Christian Canadians instead of Canadian Christians, right? So that our loyalty to the kingdom isn't always exceeded by nationalism. Nationalism isn't bad, patriotism isn't bad, but we have another king. You have to be able to be in this world, not of it, all that kind of thing, right? I mean, I don't have to go back over all that, I don't think. The issue is, if we have it straight with him and are walking in a manner, it says that we can be accepted by God and approved by men. Did you know that? That's what it says in the book of Acts. It's really possible. Now, is everybody going to like why you do what you do? No, but they can honor what you do, saying these people are for real. And so, be kind. It don't matter that they don't think you're the right kind. Be kind. And that's really, I think, the gist of what the scriptures try to tell us. That, I'll just read you Colossians 3. But now, you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech for your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So we have a new spirit in us. The Holy Spirit joined to our spirit. And he says we are being renewed according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, Christ is all and in all. In the church, we have a shot of having this happen because it doesn't matter. We are all the same at the foot of the throne. We are all the same at the foot of the cross. And he said, it doesn't matter. He sees us in him. And we are all alike in him. Right? And so there's a unity that's already there. I know we've talked about this. I say it all the time, but since I do say it all the time, and this is part of all the time, I'll say it again. Amen. Okay. Make me sneeze too. Listen, the Bible tells us to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, not to attain, because he provides it in what I just said. Are you with me? That's Ephesians 4, that's an incredible verse. But he said, lay all those things aside, verse 12 of Colossians 3, so as those who have been chosen of God, there we are, chosen again, Holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. Ugh. You know why that's in the Bible? You ever hung out with a bear? You can't bear it. It's unbearable. And he says, bear with one another. Wow. There's a story with that I'll skip. And forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you should also... People in church don't complain. All the time. If you have a complaint, good for you. That's really kind of what he says. And so, if anyone has a complaint against anyone, there's the rub. What do? Deal with it correctly. That's what he says. Just as the Lord forgave, you should also forgive. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. There we are. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I looked that up. It means let, allow, permit. What do? I recognize that there is a peace of God, and I'm to allow that peace of God to be the umpire in my heart, to oversee my judgments, to have lordship over the wheel that turns my life. Now, I'm not saying I do that right all the time, but he's the Lord, and he has the right. And I have to allow him to exercise the right that he has earned because he's bought me with a price. Am I making sense? Nope. You're not a robot. He didn't make you a robot. You have the choice. And so sometimes you have to pray, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand why this person acts this way and they say this thing and all this, but I am asking you now to come in and rule with peace in my life. I'm allowing you the opportunity to exercise your right to bring peace into my life. Have you ever prayed that way? That's a really good way to look at it. Because he said, you have to allow, you have to let. Why? Because there's 15 other things that want to run your life. Right? Usually there's an in-law or two, and there's a boss, and somebody who's bossy, and those people want to run your life. And you go say, no, I need to permit the God who is the God of peace, the God who is the God of hope, the God who is love. I need him to come in and set up shop and rule in me in this set of circumstances. So is there any hope for the world? Man, if we have people that live like that, that's a lot of hope for the world, isn't it? And then the last part of that thing that Dr. Meyer said, there are just so many things going wrong. Note to self, in this world, you will have tribulation. There will continue to have things going wrong. Furnaces go out, refrigerators break down, cars have tremendous transmissions go out of them, tires go flat. Diets go away. just things happen because we're living in a world that says that's passing away. That's why you can't get Velcroed to it or you'll go down with it. It's passing away. I like to say circling the bowl. That creates another picture, doesn't it? Yeah. But that's what he says. Don't fall in love with the world. And if you do, you got a bigger problem than you had before. So, Jesus had a loving heart. This is Billy Graham. If he dwells within us, hatred and bitterness will never rule us. That's going with what I just said. Hate and bitterness should never rule us as long as we're allowing peace of God, right? God's help is always available, but it's only given to those who seek it. It's Max Lucado. I like that. Kathy Tricoli says, Jesus Christ is not a security from storms, but he is the perfect security in storms. And when we're looking to never have a storm, that's like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. That's not how life works. But if you know him in the storm, then it works. I think that's how it's supposed to go. And then the last question, is God even relevant? And does God get involved in people's lives? Let me read a couple of verses to you. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there's no God besides me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order. From the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble and don't be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? Are you not my witnesses? Is there any God besides me, or is there any other rock? I know of none. That sounds like relevant to me. I don't know what you're thinking of, but it talks about that he is who he is, who he declares to be, and he never changes. I think that's awesome. Isaiah 45, verse 18. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it, and he did not create it, a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. I have not spoken in secret in some dark land. Gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. They have no knowledge who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. Declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announced this from old? Who has long since declared it? Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God beside me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I've sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who are angry at him will be put to shame. In the Lord, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. He just kind of settles it, doesn't he? So is God relevant? Yes, he is. He's been engaged from before the beginning of time and now wants to be engaged in all of our time. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made the purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he inherited a much more excellent name than they. Jesus, according to G. Campbell Morgan, stooped into an actual identification with human nature. And by that stoop, he lifted human nature into the spaciousness of fellowship with God. God doesn't come down. He lifts us up. Tozer says it this way. Tozer just says a lot of things pretty good. God did not write a book and send it by a messenger to be read at a distance by unaided minds. He spoke a book and now lives in his spoken words, constantly speaking his words and causing the power of them to persist across the years. He spoke the world into existence, and he still speaks through his spoken word to maintain and empower our existence. Heibel says, grace comes from the heart of a gracious God who wants to stun you and overwhelm you with the gift you don't deserve, salvation, adoption, a spiritual ability to use in the kingdom service, answered prayer, the church, his presence, his wisdom, his guidance, and his love. Yeah, that adds to life, doesn't it? Christ, the Son of God, the complete embodiment of God's word, came among us, and he looked upon humanity's losing battle with sin and pitched his divine tent in the middle of the camp so that he could dwell among us, Beth Moore. Christmas is God's idea. And he addressed all of the questions that mankind has in sending his son. His way of giving us life and empowering us to live it, his way of sharing his love, his wisdom, and his heart with us, he came us to give us life and give it abundantly. He's relevant, he's real, and he longs to be real and involved in your life. Jesus is his greatest gift, his living proof, and his incomparable treasure. And he is yours for the asking, yours for the knowing, and yours to be loved and loved by. Merry Christmas. Lord, thank you for the reality of how well you know all of these human beings that you have created. And thank you that in the coming of your Son, you set out to prove to people who you are, why you are, and how their existence can not only find meaning and have their hurts healed and the oppressor off of their backs, but Lord, a continuous connection and relationship with you that allows us to have joy even at times that are not Christmas, even at times that are not holidays. And so, Lord, I want to ask for you today to cause these words from your word to find a spot in people's hearts, that the Holy Spirit would penetrate into the place of understanding in the hearts of men and women, and they recognize part of the problem I'm having is that I'm not rightly connected with God. And we ask today, Spirit of the living God, that people would open their hearts, grant you permission. Say, yes, I want to know the God of peace and the peace of God. And may you attend unto that prayer, Lord. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.